I don't know. I don't know if you have ever read somebody else's letter. Now, I'm not talking in the sense that, you know, maybe you swiped a sibling's letter and read it without them wanting you to, or had somebody hand you their letter to read. I mean more like finding an old letter, maybe from your parents to one another, or maybe just some random old letter whose author and recipient you have no knowledge of, and you really don't understand the situation behind the writing of the letter. I was fascinated a few weeks ago about a letter that was sent but never delivered. Rather, it was kept by a postmaster for unknown reason. And what caught my attention and what made it so interesting to me was the fact that the letter had been written in 1697, and it had been stored in an old trunk of undelivered mail. They said likely what happened is that when you would send a letter, part of the postage, at least at that time, would be paid by the recipient, and the recipient either didn't accept the letter, or they were never able to accept the letter, or they weren't willing to pay whatever the postage was that would have still been due on that letter. But that letter had gone undelivered since 1697. And just recently, because of advancements in technology, they were able to digitally open that letter and read the contents of the letter. Now you have to understand, this was the days before envelopes, and so it was folded just so, and they never opened it. They did it all digitally. That's what caught my attention. What kept my attention was reading this letter. This letter from one gentleman I had never met to another gentleman I had never met, whose circumstances I didn't have the slightest information about. And so I'm reading this letter and wondering what was going on that the gentleman writing the letter was asking for a certified copy of a death certificate for a cousin. Well, what made him ask for this certified copy? What were the details behind that? Why wasn't the letter ever accepted and opened and read and simply disposed of? Why did the sender need these things? And the truth is that all of those details and so many others have slipped away into history only to be pondered by those who read the letter. This morning, we're going to read somebody else's letter, or a portion of it. It's the shortest of the letters from Paul. It's the letter of Philemon. Now, we know the author, Paul. We know the name of the recipient, Philemon. And we also can learn a few things about Philemon simply by reading the letter. He was wealthy enough to have a home large enough for the church to meet in his house, and wealthy enough that he had slaves, or at least a slave. But you know, beyond that, and the fact that he was a follower of Christ because of the work of Paul, we know nothing. We know nothing about Philemon. Well, we know the name of one of his slaves, Onesimus. But we don't know that much about Onesimus either. He was a slave who somehow, for some reason, ended up with Paul, in the presence of Paul, somewhere out of his master's sphere of life. Whatever became of the relationship between Onesimus and Philemon. What became of the relationship between Paul and Philemon? What became of the relationship between Paul and Onesimus? Questions we might ask. Who are Apphia and Archippus? I have to admit that we know nothing except for possibly that Archippus was a preacher in the church at Colossae for at least a period of time. You know, I have to admit that for me, knowing some of those answers would make trying to preach from the little book of Philemon a whole lot easier. Because Philemon is somebody else's mail. And we can read other people's mail, but most often we don't know the details behind the letter. Trying to put a meaning to a lot of things that Paul says to Philemon and say what is important for us today is difficult because we don't know the details. But what I did find, what I did come across as I was reading this letter, and it doesn't take long to read the book of Philemon, in case you wonder. It took me roughly about 3 minutes every time I tried to read it, and I get distracted a lot. And so I read this letter, and tried to figure out what is it about Philemon that made it worthy of making it into the canon of Scripture. And probably it had to do with the fact that even as the New Testament was being collected, slavery in the Roman world was necessary and accepted. And so Paul is simply writing to the church and dealing with issues that come between a slave and their owner. But for us in today's world, that isn't our issue. But in one little verse, I think I found what is valuable, because Paul does tell Timothy that all Scripture is valuable for teaching and correcting and training in all righteousness. And so we have to ask, what can we learn from this little book of Philemon? And this morning we're going to begin with verse 10 of Philemon. Don't worry I didn't put it up there. You know, a lot of times on my title slide I put the scripture reference, and I was going to say, don't worry, it isn't 18 chapters of Philemon we're going to deal with this morning. It's only 8 verses. Philemon is one chapter long. Beginning with the first verse, with the 10th verse, excuse me. And again, I told you last week that I've encouraged you to open your Bible if you have them. And so I feel it only right that I open my own and read from it and try to keep track of my slides as I go. And so we saw how that worked last week when we learned that Rocky can't type. In case you are just now learning that, it's a truth. There went my sermon notes. Up they're back. Philemon, beginning with verse 10, Paul says, I appeal to you, my son Onesimus, or I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became a son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Like I said, we could read this letter and we could say a lot of things, but how does it apply to you and to me? And I think it has to do with usefulness. Paul talks about the usefulness of Philemon, or of Onesimus to Philemon. Verse 11 is really the verse that caught my attention, and it is the verse that most of what we look at this morning will come from, when Paul says, formerly he was useless to you. There are a lot of reasons that Onesimus might have been useless to Philemon. As a slave, as a member of the human race, the worldly sense, there were a lot of reasons that Onesimus might have been useless. And we have to be careful because we can become useless in a lot of ways to a lot of people. For Onesimus, it probably meant that he was either a poor worker. He didn't really put his heart and his energy and his effort into his work, and he in turn didn't produce a lot of good things. You might say his heart wasn't in it, and he just wasn't the person that Philemon needed him to be. Or maybe he was a slothful worker. We look at a lot of people who they might do good work, but they are just lazy. You might get 1/10 of what you need from them because that's about how often they work. They do great work, just not very often. Probably a lot of other reasons that Onesimus may have been useless to Paul, but one of the standard beliefs about Onesimus is that he simply went AWOL. He ran away from Philemon. That's the general belief about why Onesimus ended up in the presence of Paul, is that Onesimus ran away. Either on purpose, seeking out Paul, who he knew because of Paul's relationship with Philemon, or simply just happening to end up at the right place at the right time to bump into Paul. And I would say, a long time ago, I would have said, well, probably Philemon was seeking out, or Onesimus was seeking out Paul. But I've been in ministry long enough and run into enough people at places I would have believed I never would have seen anybody I knew to know that there is always the possibility of running into somebody you know, or somebody that knows somebody that you know. Because even though there are 7 plus billion people on the face of the earth today, it doesn't take long to find connections to quite a few of them. But whatever the case, it seems that Onesimus went AWOL from Philemon. And any one of these may be the reason Paul was saying that he was useless to you. Might even be why Paul adds at the end, if he owes you anything, charge it to me. Because Onesimus simply disappeared. We have to be careful because even if we're at the point of retirement, there are still a lot of things that we can and should be doing for others, and we need to be careful that we don't become useless. But there's also the other side of this. Thinking about Paul, the apostle of Jesus, writing to Philemon, there is another side to the uselessness of Onesimus. It's not just physically, it's not just how he was useless to Philemon, but there's also the question about how useless he was in the greater scheme of history. Because Onesimus wasn't a follower of Christ when he came to Paul. And there is a uselessness there. And for him, the uselessness we could look at, we could define, we can understand, and we can look at the world around us and say, in these ways, the world around us is useless. But unfortunately, as we study the Word of God, we find out that sometimes even those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ can fall into the same categories of uselessness. There are false values. There are false values that are placed on us by the world. Oh, we don't know about Onesimus and his values, but given the fact that Paul is saying that he was useless to you, Philemon, we can believe that there were probably some values in Philemon that made him useless for the grander scheme of the world. Sometimes these values are even praised by the world, and I'm not sure this would fit in the case of Onesimus, but I'm reminded of it. Jesus told a parable. He had a young man come up to him in one of his teaching sessions, and the young man asked Jesus to adjudicate between himself and his brother over the inheritance their father was leaving to them. And Jesus answered with a parable, and if you look at Luke chapter 12 later, verses 16 to 21, you find that Jesus tells this parable, and he says, there's this rich man who had a barn full of grain, and he was looking at the harvest that was to come in the next few weeks, months, whatever. He was looking at a bumper crop that would overfill his barns, and so the man said to himself, what should I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll say to myself, take it easy because you've got everything you need. Now, if we live in a world, we live in a society today that may not build a lot of barns. But we build a lot of bank accounts. We build a lot of retirement accounts. We build a lot of storage. Yeah, and it's praised by the world. The world says that if you have it stored and you can rely on it, you've got it made. Now, I'm not going to say that planning for retirement is wrong, and there is a lot of good in planning for retirement. The problem is when we look at those and we simply say, me, myself, and I have done, and me, myself, and I will enjoy, and me, myself, and I will rest secured, not in the love of God, but in things that we have secured. And we'll praise, the world would praise us, but Jesus might not. There are different values, and sometimes those values are praised by the world, sometimes they're not. We can be sure of this, that Onesimus was involved in some kind of false worship, as a lot of the world around us is, and unfortunately sometimes we get wrapped up in it too. Worshipping the wrong things, worshipping things that are good, but they are not God. And a lot of times we are self-seeking. Seeking our own good, seeking our own pleasure, seeking our own wants, our own needs, our own desires, rather than looking out and saying, what is the bigger, grander picture of what's important? And so Paul writes to Onesimus, to Philemon, and he says that Onesimus was formerly useless to you, but now he has become useful. Useful. And Paul describes and Paul explains what it is that happened that made Onesimus useful. And it was a change that took place because Onesimus heard the gospel message and accepted the gospel message and became a brother in Christ. And just as Onesimus was useless in two different ways, he becomes useful in those same two ways. He becomes useful in a worldly sense because he now is serving a different master. Oh, he may still go back and answer to Philemon, but he is serving a different, a greater master. He is now serving the same master that Paul says that Philemon is serving, and the same master that Paul says he is serving. They are all three servants of Jesus Christ. And when we serve a different master, if we are honest and we look to the teachings of Jesus Christ and we're truthfully serving him, serving a different master brings a different work ethic. It brings a different work ethic because we understand who it is that we're serving, and it isn't people here. If you look at Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes Colossians and Philemon probably at the same time. He probably writes to the church at Colossae at the same time he's writing to Philemon, who is a member of the church at Colossae. And he is going to end up sending both letters with Onesimus and with a man named Tychicus to Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes about the relationships between a man and a woman. He writes between a parent and a child, and I was thinking about maybe putting this up on the screen and thinking about not, and I've got my Bible, so I'm going to read Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. Because there's a good likelihood that Onesimus heard what Paul had to say to the church at Colossae before he left to go back to Philemon. And Paul says this, he says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrong, and there is no favoritism." Paul says to the church at Colossae that whether you are the slave or the master, because if you go on and in chapter 4, he talks about treating your slaves well. In chapter 3, he looks at the slaves and he says, whatever you do, however you go about doing your work, you put everything into it. He says, you're giving everything and doing your best work. Everything that might have made Onesimus useless to Philemon, Paul is saying should change. And while we may not have slaves and masters in our society today, and we may look down on Paul for even writing this, in the two, Paul is really kind of turning things, preparing things so that later slavery might be done away with. Because he's reminding the audience, the readership, that slaves and masters are to work as brothers. You work as if everything you do is your own because you're not serving just your earthly master, just your earthly employer in terms we would use today. But you are serving Jesus Christ. And you are making his name known to people who watch you and look at you. And Paul says, because of that, we can become useful to the world. But Paul also writes and is talking about the fact that there is a spiritual usefulness in Onesimus, and there should be a spiritual usefulness in us as we come to serve Christ. Because now we are a part of a different family. I remember singing sometimes that the song that says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. We're joint heirs with Jesus, and that should change. That should change our usefulness, because now instead of just being useless servants, we are joint heirs. We are in the fellowship. We are the family of God. And we become useful because now we serve not as something that is required and demanded, but something that is given freely out of a love and a concern for other people. I've seen it happen where somebody becomes a follower of Jesus and their attitude towards other people changes because they're a part of the family of God. And if we're part of a different family, if we have different relationships because we have come into the family of God, it also means that we have different values. The world out there espouses a lot of values that don't mesh with what Scripture teaches. There are a lot of things that the world says are important, things that we have to have, things that we have to do, places we have to go, that if we're following the teachings of Scripture, we say our values are different and we won't do that. We won't go there. We won't experience those things because we have different values. And Onesimus would have had different values coming from an understanding of being a slave to being a co-worker with Paul. No longer simply serving Paul, but now serving alongside of Paul. And when Paul writes to Onesimus, he says, I'm sending him back to you because you now have a brother. And he will be useful to you. And we become like Christ, and that service in the family and for the family becomes sacrificial. Where we're willing to do whatever it takes to care for and to serve the other person. While we may not know all of the background information about Philemon and Onesimus that we would like to know, we can know this, that Philemon and Onesimus became brothers because of the work of Paul. And when Onesimus became a follower of Christ, he became useful to Philemon and to Paul. And we need to ask ourselves the question, am I being useful to the kingdom of God? Because we are called to be servants. Elsewhere, Paul says that we're called to imitate Christ. We're to have the same mind as Christ, he says in another place. And if we simply look at the life of Jesus, what we find is that Jesus left heaven with all of the advantages of heaven and took on the form of a lowly, poor carpenter and lived among us. He lived faithfully to the teachings that God had put forth, and he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins. He was raised, and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he is calling us to live like him. And Jesus, in the life that he lived, we see him doing a lot of things. Sometimes the last thing is the most memorable, and the last act of service that Jesus did before he died on the cross was to wash his disciples' feet. We are called to serve like Jesus, to serve the body of Christ, and then to serve the world as we implore people to come to Jesus Christ. Philemon went from being a servant to being a brother who serves. And we're called to be brothers and sisters who serve in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.